I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Even as I'm looking up at NBA TV, Anthony Davis is writhing on the ground, the court, in pain, and the concern on the faces of Frank Vogel and Jason Kidd on the sidelines. He goes up for a shot and he comes down on the back of the foot of an opponent. Of course, his ankle rolls in just an really awkward manner. And he tried to walk it off, and he stuck through most of the rest of the quarter, kind of retied his shoe. This was about halfway through the fourth quarter, and he had a fantastic performance, really early, setting the tone for the Lakers as they grab a 3-1 lead in that Western Conference Finals. So come Saturday night, they could punch their ticket in the NBA Finals for the first time as a franchise since 2010. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Of course, we've got the Game 4 Stanley Cup Final that is coming up on Friday. And so in Edmonton, we don't know yet whether Steven Stamkos will play, but what a cool return for him with the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are now up 2-1 in that series. So the Stars need to rally before they fall into a 3-1 hole. We could end up with all three of these playoff series being 3-1 situations. Celtics and Heat will play again on Friday night as well. So I guess there is a chance. You're saying there's a chance that the Heat could be the first team into the NBA Finals. And we're keeping our eyes on those bubbles, those hub cities, who also deserve a ton of credit for the way that they have stayed clean and stayed focused on the task at hand for the most part. We've seen a couple of bad games or a couple of bad stretches, but really both the hockey and the hoops have been intense and quality playoff performances. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us. Want to hear something funny? For the first time in my entire life, I kid you not, I bought a rotisserie chicken on Thursday. It was delicious. I may now buy a rotisserie chicken every week. I got, the brand was Open Nature. I've never heard of it before, but I poked it through the bag and it was so juicy. And it was also, I don't know if it was cooked in the bag or not, but it also had some spices and it was roasted, not fried. So there were some fried options, but I went with the roasted rotisserie. It was so delicious. Now I'm not great when it comes to carving up meats and birds, but I managed to not cut myself and cut off the chicken breast, one of the chicken breasts. And oh, so juicy. I was eating it before I was even putting it on my dish, my salad. I had it in a big salad. It was so awesome. And just like I told you about the flannel, when I started the show and said, it's going to be a flannel Friday and no one else in the radio realm is going to say that. How about nobody else starting an hour saying, for the first time in my life, I bought a rotisserie chicken. So I feel like there's two kinds of people in the world. People who eat rotisserie chickens and people who don't. And I've had them before with my family, but this is my first time ever buying one. My mom put this bug in my ear. And so I'm now a rotisserie chicken disciple. Producer Dave, is your family a rotisserie chicken family?
We have done that in the past.
Oh, so good.
It's not a staple, I would say, but it's always a good option.
Well, it's now about to be a staple. For me. Anyway, I still had so much chicken left. My mom said, why don't you just buy part of a chicken? I said, no way. We're buying a whole chicken. These are not big chickens. And so I bought the entire bird and I still have two legs, a breast, I've got a couple wings, I've got all this chicken. So now I've got to carve it all up, and I'm going to eat some on Friday, but then I'm going to put the rest in the fridge or the freezer. Mom said freeze it, and you can always use it later on. So, yeah, I mean, maybe I won't need to buy another rotisserie chicken for a month, but this was so good. Just juicy and delicious and not overcooked. You know, overcooked chicken can be dry. No, it was plump and it was so tasty.
Making me hungry.
Yeah, I could eat some more of that. In fact, I may have it for breakfast. What do you think about that?
Why not?
I could put some egg. I could make some eggs. I usually do, it's not really an omelet. It's more like an egg burrito. So I wrap it up in a whole wheat tortilla and I put cheese, sometimes sour cream, a little salsa. Maybe I'll just do eggs and chicken. That sounds so good.
Sounds delicious. Let's just do the next 2 hours on food.
Yes. Let's do that. Oh, my big feet are tied up with some cord that's underneath the desk. Maybe if I just kick it, it will go away. Or maybe it will unplug something and then all of a sudden you won't be able to hear me. So yes, your host had a revelation about rotisserie chicken. It was a rotisserie revelation on Thursday. And now it's my favorite. And this is how dumb I am. I don't ever pay attention if I'm not normally, if I'm not normally looking for a particular item in the grocery store, I may have no idea where it is. I'm pretty locked in on what it is that I put on my list. So I actually texted my brother because I said my brother and sister-in-law do a lot of rotisserie chickens. And I said to my brother, where do I get this? I didn't even know where to look. And I walked into the grocery store and boom, there was a huge, like a display, almost like a cart that was there, and it had two levels of heat, and they had even said on the back when it was cooked. If it was cooked in the morning, if it was cooked in the afternoon. I feel like I struck it rich, a rotisserie richness that cannot be replicated. Oh, so good with those R's. So good with the alliteration. So yes, my weekend is even better because there's rotisserie chicken waiting for me at home. I know, I'm a weirdo. No need to at me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Did I already say this? We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. I guess I don't need to tell you that the dog was staring at me intently while I was eating my chicken. What is it about dogs that they can bore a hole in the head, in your head, the back of your head, the front of the side of your head? My dog just stares at me as if staring at me is going to get her people food.
They get locked in.
They do.
Lock onto a target.
Laser focus.
It's like air, you know, fighter jets. They get locked on. Can't move.
Or like a quarterback who can't look off the defender.
That too. Good point.
He telegraphs his pass. Yeah, so Penny, I'm sure many of you who have dogs have a similar situation going on with your dog. Penny can be fast asleep on the other level of the house in a completely different side of the house. And if I open up the bread bag, that dog knows. I mean, she waits a little bit. She tries to make it unobvious. But here she comes down the stairs the second I open up the bread bag and start to put, especially peanut butter. She loves peanut butter. She doesn't get a lot of people food, but I'll give her a corner of the crust with some peanut butter on it because she loves that. And apparently the dog loves pumpkin too. I had no idea, but pumpkin is good for their bellies. And so now could she be more my dog eating pumpkin? Every now and then I just put some on her food and she laps it up first. But here's the latest with my dog. This is a war that Penny and I are having and I'm determined to win. She cannot win this war. My dog is a hairy Australian Shepherd. I mean, she leaves hair everywhere she goes. I could spend the next 5 years doing nothing but picking up hair, like every second of every day. That would be awful. And there would still be more hair to pick up. It just floats around the house. So I'm constantly sweeping. I'm constantly picking it up. My gosh. But I love her and she's worth it and she's beautiful. So I need to, you know, keep combing her. I do it outside because the hair just... makes a cloud and I could form another dog. So I do not let Penny get on my furniture. Many of you are about to tell me I'm a terrible dog owner, whatever. The dog does not get on the furniture, at least not with my permission, but she loves the couch. And I discovered this early on in our relationship after I adopted her. And so for the past, I kid you not, Dave, and I know you have dogs. What kind of dogs do you have? Are they hairy?
Yellow Lab.
Okay. So not as hairy.
When he sheds, it's everywhere.
Okay. And it's yellow, so you can't help but see it everywhere.
I take it everywhere with me.
Right, exactly. It's a sign of true love. So Penny she realized early on that there was a very comfy couch, but I decided that I didn't want to have dog hair all over the couch. Like, I normally sit in the chair. I have a chair that I like to sit and work in, but my company always uses the couch, and I didn't want company to come over and sit on a couch and get up with a bunch of like orange dog hair. And so I started putting a laundry basket or a box on the couch where the cushions don't cover it. So I have a lot of cushions on my couch. We've been doing that for the better part of 6 years. So for the last 6-7 years, I have had a laundry basket or a box on my couch, which looks great when I forget to move it and people come over. Recently, so I had this older chair, an armchair that I had for, oh my gosh, almost 20 years. My mom was tired of it. She bought me an armchair last year for my birthday. I think because she was coming to visit for Christmas and did not want to have to sit in the other chair. Anyway, so the chair is very comfortable. And about 3 weeks ago, I noticed that there's dog hair in my chair. Now, I didn't think I needed to worry about the chair because it's a relatively tight space, right? Like, this is a big dog. All of a sudden, there's orange dog hair all over my chair. So for the first week or so, I put like the remote in the chair, right? So like the DVD remote, the TV remote. Yeah, that worked for about a week until one day I came home and the remotes were on the floor and the dog had been in the chair. But she is too smart for her own good.
My dog will sit and lay on top of the remote. Well, he doesn't even
care. Coming. Right, that's coming. So then I decided, okay, I've got to put a book or every now and then I'll get like a DVD set of a season of TV from the library. And so I'm going through the DVDs and there's like this box set. So I'll put a book and a box set and the remotes. Okay, so that worked for about a week. Then I came home about a week and a half ago and those were pushed to the side and the dog, there's still orange dog hair everywhere. So she had just laid on top of them. She didn't care. She just got in the chair. I'm surprised she didn't turn on the TV that she's laying on the remote. Okay, so here's the latest. Well, and one morning this week I came home and I hear her jump off of the, so I have hardwoods, jump off of the chair onto the floor and come to the door like it's the, like she's the, it's, she's so happy to see me, right? So I go over, I feel the chair, it's warm. She's been there for who knows how long, right? This is her comfy spot. So now this is what my life has boiled down to. There is a box on the couch, there's a box in the chair, and that's what, I mean, I'm never going to unpack those boxes. They're just going to be there forever. So in order for me to sit in my own chair, I now have to move the box from the chair onto the floor. And if I forget to put the box in the chair, guess what? There will be a dog in it. But I'm determined not to lose this battle. This is a war that I am going to win.
You have to. You have to be persistent. You got to keep doing it. Else there's going to be orange hair everywhere. Because I have yellow hair everywhere.
Oh, yeah. So, and I thought about briefly, very briefly, putting a blanket in the chair. Because in the backseat of my car, she loves to go for rides. So there's two mats in the backseat of my car. So my car isn't covered with orange hair. But I thought, no, I'm not giving her permission to lay in the chair by putting a blanket there. That's not happening. And so, yes, I have yet to clean the latest round of orange hair off of my armchair, but that's going to be happening soon. Although I suspect one of these mornings I'm going to come home and she's going to have figured out if she jumps in the chair and kind of wedges herself behind the box, she could probably push that onto the floor too. I mean, it's gonna happen.
Where there's a will, there's a way. They can fit into these tight
dog.
Little spaces,
yes.
And make themselves look comfortable.
Oh,
and somehow they are.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Like we have a metal table that's like a coffee table, and my dog Jordan, the yellow lab, he will lay on the floor but have his head like leaning up against it on what looks like the most uncomfortable thing ever, and he's sound asleep. Like he loves it. I'm like, we look at him. We're like, how do you sleep like that?
Yeah.
Couldn't be happier.
Well, and clearly Penny loves the chair because even when I'm like, what did you do? Wags her tail. Like, I just got a really good night's sleep, Mom. Thanks.
Yeah, I've been very comfy. I've been working. I'm comfy.
Yeah,
Thank you.
I'm really happy. Thank you for getting this chair, Mom. Yeah, so I can't give in. But, I mean, she is 11, and I want her to be happy. So what I did this week, in addition to putting a box now in my chair, just looks so dumb. Looks like I haven't unpacked my house. I did pull her bed. So her thick bed, she's got, like, a really thick bed that was a gift from a family member. I took it outside. I sprayed it. I aired it out. I brushed it, and I put it in the spare bedroom. So now she has a bed upstairs and she has a bed downstairs. I mean, can you not? The beds are comfortable too.
There used to be a day back in the day where there was a dog house and they slept outside.
Yeah, right.
Now
could you
sleep,
imagine?
They sleep on your chair, your couch. They try to get in your bed. They got their own bed. They're living the life.
Oh, yeah. One time I had Penny in a hotel room. This is when she was younger. I was doing a job in Newport, Rhode Island. So I brought her with me and the hotel allowed dogs. So one time I let that dog sleep on the bed with me and she was so cute and it was so sweet. And I was like, it's not my bed, so it's fine. My mom said to me, she's going to think she belongs in that bed if you do it again. And I was like, I know. I can't. I mean, I love my dog, but I do not want to sleep with her.
I come home in the morning and my dog is in my space. When I get home, I have to move him so I can go to bed.
And how much is your yellow lab weigh?
Somewhere in the 75 to 80 pound range.
Okay, so
he's taking up about the same amount of space I do.
Oh, you do not weigh 75 pounds.
No, but we're about the same size.
Oh, got it. He stretches out. Penny is 72, 73 pounds, so about the same. It's just the hair. I mean, that it's her calling card. She leaves it everywhere. So this dog gave me side eye on Thursday morning when I was walking her. I said something about going poops, and she just looked at me like, "What? Stop embarrassing me in public, Mom." I was like, okay, it's gone too far. My dog just gave me side eye. Oh, she makes me happy, though. Dogs make me, well, she makes me happy. I know lots of you have dogs that make you happy as well. So maybe you also have had a battle over the furniture. But don't give up. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. All right, coming up, we're going to dive into more of the schedule for the weekend with some of the storylines. It won't be as much fun as talking about my battle with the dog, but still, we love football, and so we'll get to that straight ahead. Take our poll on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Which of these games are you looking forward to? Maybe there's another one you want to throw in the mix. I mean, I feel like Chiefs and Ravens, they're pretty much going to lap the field, but we like to do it for fun anyway. And also on our Facebook page.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I don't know how it's going to feel, to be on Monday night with our fans. But, you know, it's a very exciting game. You're the only one being watched at that time. The whole world's watching you. It's just time to put on a show. It's a prime time game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The unmistakable voice of one Lamar Jackson, reigning NFL MVP. And it's a primetime game without fans, of course, in Baltimore. And the Chiefs will be on the road for Monday Night Football, and yet still a lot to look forward to. And John Harbaugh, it, of course, has some sample size and a couple of games to look back against the Chiefs. So in 2018, this is not long after Lamar took over as the starter, they lost in overtime to Kansas City. And then last year was a great game, 33-28. But of course, no team stays the same from one year to the next. Heck, some teams don't even stay the same from one week to the next.
We're a different defense in a lot of ways. You know, Marcus, of course, and you know, we've got Marlon's grown. Jimmy is in a great role. And we've added defensive linemen. We've got young linebackers. So we've added a lot to our defense. We've added some scheme as well.
John Harbaugh on one sideline and Andy Reid on the other. And right now, Andy Reid is top of the heap as the Super Bowl champ. And so many people were so excited for him to win last year. So it's kind of nice that he doesn't have to answer those questions anymore.
You know, we look forward to playing the Ravens. Great atmosphere to play in with it being Monday night. I know there are no fans, but it's two good football teams playing each other. And that should be, that's really what we're looking at.
Is that the game that you are most looking forward to? The good thing is you don't have to watch only that one or pick that one over some of the other Sunday games, right? Because we get that one on Monday night, which is awesome. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. You can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you want to take our poll about the game you're most looking forward to this weekend, we've got a bunch of good storylines, a bunch of good matchups. But I want to mention real quickly a nerd alert from this game between the Ravens and Chiefs. Now, it's not just about quarterbacks, but of course they get far more of the attention and the credit, and they also get blamed far more than they deserve when things go wrong. But you've got the last two MVPs in Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. And as it turns out, it is the first time in NFL history in which two MVPs will be on the field and they're neither one 26 years old. That's crazy, right? I mean, that really underscores what we were talking about going back to our last show. And we had a great conversation with Gus Frerotte. Thank you, by the way, for so many of you that not only listened to the conversation, but then sent us tweets and Facebook posts about how much you enjoyed having Gus on the show. He's a great talker, which is why his podcast is successful. But we were talking about young stud quarterbacks, and we were looking at the guys who are 25 years of age and younger. That does not include Dak Prescott. It does not include Mitch Trubisky. But Mahomes just turned 25. Jared Goff is still 25 for another month. And then you've got Lamar Jackson, who started when he was a teenager and was the first NFL QB ever to start a playoff game as a teenager. And so these two guys have come in, and while they did have to wait, both had to wait in their respective franchises for the opportunity to take over the team, they've left such an incredible mark on the league already. And so under the age of 26, you've got two MVPs who will be on the field, not at the same time, you hope, but will be on the field in the same forum on Monday night. Baltimore, of course, closing out the regular season last year with 12 straight wins, had the most prolific running attack in NFL history in 2019, and they're coming off a game in which they had 230 yards rushing. Meanwhile, the Chiefs struggled in their last game. They could very easily not be 2-0. They were taking on the Chargers in Los Angeles, the brand new SoFi Stadium, the brand new SoFi Space Station, and that game went into overtime. Now, there's a lot of talk about whether or not the Chargers and Anthony Lynn should have given the ball back to the Chiefs. Well, I should say ball back. Should have allowed the Chiefs to have the ball without going for it on fourth down and overtime. So the Chargers had the ball first in OT. Remember, this is Justin Herbert now, not Tyrod Taylor. So welcome to the NFL, rookie, right? You start in by finding out minutes before kickoff that's going to be your job. And then you have a passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown in your very first game, your very first half. But obviously there were mistakes and there were turnovers late in the game. And so then you're in overtime. Ha ha. I mean, Justin Herbert just had to take pretty much everything the NFL threw at him in that first start. And they don't pick up a first down. But they also don't go for it on fourth down, which was interesting, hotly debated. Why would you turn around and give the ball to the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes when they had driven the field to be able to kick the game-tying field goal just to force the extra period? So, with Patrick Mahomes, you are rolling the dice. If you're going to put the ball in his hands, there is a chance he's going to burn you. But Lamar Jackson, same thing. And both those guys are dual threats. Mahomes runs more to extend plays and to create some time and some space. Lamar obviously can hurt you, and he's, what do people call him, a cheat code from a video game. So that's the one that we're really looking forward to, but it's not the only one. There are a lot of games out there that people are excited about. So 855-212-4227, and then also on our Twitter and on our Facebook. And coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll do some QB news, but there's a major challenge for the Green Bay Packers, who are at 2-0, but are going into a Superdome. Different atmosphere, obviously, because there will be no fans in New Orleans at the Superdome. But even if you look at the Saints start at 1-1 and the numbers for Drew Brees, and you think, okay, maybe age is catching up with him, which I do not believe, by the way. I'm going to need more than two games to prove to me that Drew Brees has all of a sudden lost it and fallen off a cliff. But the numbers for the Saints offense have not been good. Now, part of the issue in their Monday night game was that they did not have Mike Thomas. And Drew Brees, his numbers, I wouldn't say he's a different quarterback, but his numbers are so much different in the two games in which he's not had Mike Thomas. So you know Drew Brees, off the charts, most accurate quarterback in NFL history. He owns this passing record and that touchdown record, yada, yada, yada. But without Mike Thomas, in the two games without his top receiver since Thomas was drafted, Brees has one touchdown and four interceptions. And here's the major question mark for the Saints. Thomas is a question mark still. So it's a question mark about a question mark. His status is uncertain right now. He has that high ankle sprain, and those can sometimes take weeks to recover from. Christian McCaffrey has a high ankle sprain, and he's out 4 to 6 weeks. We know Jimmy Garoppolo didn't practice on Thursday, and he's got a high ankle sprain. And so there's a chance that he would not start this weekend against the Giants, right? It's the Giants there at MetLife, and apparently the turf is now good to go, but it already took its toll on the Niners. So there's a lot of different storylines that you can look at for week number three, and we'll dive into them a little bit more through the eyes of the quarterbacks coming up with some QB news straight ahead. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then also on our Facebook page, it's After Hours with Amy Lohr. It's a flannel Friday and okay, fine, a football Friday. Oh, and for our dogs, a furry Friday.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
You're the colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand?
Snap to Dak. Payne, right side of the end zone. Touchdown! It's a touchdown!
Mariota, play fake. Looking. Floats it downfield. Touchdown! Tight!
Fires for the end zone. Touchdown! Ben with a terrific job to feed that ball through heavy traffic.
Brees from the shotgun. Has time. Guns it down the middle. And he's going to score!
Goff stands in. He whips it to the two. Touchdown!
There's a wobbly pass down the middle. It's a backpedaling. Falling down chest high. Heavily covered. Touchdown catch.
Oh, baby, what a throw by Stafford.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Which game has got you geeked up this weekend? Week three, or maybe it's a college game. We've got the SEC joining the fray, Pac-12 and Big Ten soon to follow, which is great. Mountain West as well with an about face. So there's a lot of football that we can really get jazzed up about. And we're trying to take it one weekend at a time here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. We started off week three with the Battle of the Sunshine State. This was Jacksonville with some fans hosting Miami and Ryan Fitzpatrick, who had a near perfect game. The Dolphins score touchdowns on their first three drives, and they're off and running. The defense played well, and they were able to take advantage of a couple of turnovers by Gardner Minshew in the second half to keep the Jags at bay. And Ryan Fitzpatrick may have this ginormous beard, but he also has a ginormous grin and loves to be out there. 18 of 20, 160 yards, a couple of touchdown passes, and also 4 of 5 in the red zone.
I feel like the luckiest guy in the world sometimes, getting to go outside and play football with my friends. And, you know, I think you can see it. Mike's in the room right now, but every time Mike scores a touchdown or makes a catch, the look on his face is like he's never caught a ball before. And it's fun for us to go out there and run around a little bit.
I believe referring to his tight end, Mike Gesicki, and the fact that Mike laughs and people laugh when Ryan's around. I mean, winning is fun. So let's be honest, getting your first victory is a big deal. And now you have this extended break because you played on Thursday Night Football. But for Ryan Fitzpatrick, that joy is pretty evident all the time. By the way, if you have not seen his post-game outfit, it's amoebas or it's purple mushrooms, maybe it's pineapples. I don't really know. It's a crazy shirt, but he's got this huge, huge smile on his face, and he just looks so happy. It's contagious. So when we have a chance, producer Dave, let's retweet it, because the Miami Dolphins put it out there on their Twitter with this one word: legend, in all capital letters. Yes, yes, he is. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. As for Gardner Minshew, it's kind of back to the drawing board. I mean, they've had one win, a couple of losses. One of them was a close loss, and so they've got a lot to work with. Also, they've got this quarterback who flies around like a bat out of hell.
Things we've done in these 3 weeks that have been really good. There's things we've done that are, you know, kind of killing us. So we're going to take this break to, you know, kind of look back, reevaluate, and move forward.
It's always nice to have the break, though to have your bye in week number four isn't optimal. But I think in the course of a 17-game season, you'd rather have a bye later in the week or maybe have this extended break playing Thursday night. So there's always a trade-off, right? You either have a bye early and you stay fresh, or you have this extended break, but then later in the year, you might have to turn around and go quickly within a few days. So you take the breaks when you can get them, whether it's the bye or whether I just flung a piece of my pen all the way across the room. I have no idea why. It has a mind of its own, and it distracted me. So either way, you take them when you can get them. But I tend to think that they haven't had a lot of football and actual pounding on their bodies this early. Maybe you'd rather have this break a little later in the season. But that's Thursday night football, and the Dolphins get their first win. And so now Miami and Jacksonville with the same record of 1-2. Let's skip forward to the last game of week three. We've talked about it, the Chiefs and the Ravens, the defending Super Bowl champions, against a Baltimore club that has won 14 straight regular season games. One of their last losses was against the Chiefs, 33-28. That one took place at Arrowhead Stadium in a season in which fans were allowed. Now, these are the last two reigning MVPs in Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. And of course, Pat, very complimentary and admires Lamar's game, as most of us do.
He's a great player. I mean, he can make all the throws. He can run with the ball. He can really do it all. And so it's always fun to watch guys like that work hard, put in the work, and they're able to go out there and have success on the field. And then as far as our relationship talking and stuff like that, I mean, when you play this quarterback position, it's kind of like a group. I mean, it's a tight group where you shoot ideas off each other and stuff like that. So he's a great player, and I look forward to the contest this week.
I think we do too. In fact, right now, that game is about 55% of your vote as we put our poll out there and asked you which one you're most looking forward to. So take that poll on Twitter or on Facebook. This is kind of cool, though, for Lamar Jackson. And for those of you who are familiar with his starting tenure, he's 21-3 as a starter during the regular season. Also has two postseason losses, but 21-3 during the regular season since he took over for the Ravens and Joe Flacco. Two of those three losses have come against Kansas City. So this could be a rivalry that we see. I hesitate to put it in the same category, say a Tom Brady and a Peyton Manning down the road. But if they stay healthy, we could see these guys burning up the league for a long time. And Lamar Jackson at some point will get his long-term deal. Maybe not the same gaudy numbers as Patrick Mahomes, or maybe he will. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. That's Monday night. On Sunday night, another game that I think will get some big ratings and will whet appetites, and that is the Green Bay Packers at the Superdome and the New Orleans Saints. And, of course, these two quarterbacks are later in their careers. Aaron Rodgers, maybe he saw some writing on the wall when the Packers drafted Jordan Love, but it seems to have given him a new fire in Matt LaFleur's second season. And, of course, you have Drew Brees, who says he's playing with nothing to lose. He knows that his end could come after this season, potentially could be another year plus. But either way, he's already got his next job waiting for him as a spot in the NBC booth. Is that where he's going next? NBC football analyst Chris Collinsworth, maybe seeing the writing on the wall himself. Anyway, Drew Brees recognizes what's at stake when these two quarterbacks play, especially deep into their careers like they are.
We've each been to one, and we've each won one, right? So, and we've had probably some heartbreaking moments in the playoffs, you know, both teams. But, you know, regardless, listen, each season is a new season, and each team is a new team, and you're going to face your fair share of challenges. Obviously, they've had a ton of success, just like we have. Lots of playoff appearances, lots of playoff wins, and again, you know, just those challenges that we've all faced in order to try to get to the ultimate prize.
Drew Brees and the Saints have had three consecutive extremely painful, in fact, extreme ousters in the postseason, despite having the top seed, despite having home games. But then last year, you remember, these two teams tied with in terms of record, but the Packers ended up with the tiebreaker and the number two seed, and that took until the very last game of the regular season. And so, yeah, two other great quarterbacks that will be there inside the Superdome, but closer to the end of their careers as opposed to the reigning MVPs, to the two of them, Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, who are at the very start of their careers that we hope stretch for a long time. Dak Prescott somewhere in the middle. The Dallas Cowboys could easily be 0-2. They snatched victory from the jaws of defeat thanks to the Atlanta Falcons special teams gaffe last week. And the Cowboys now hit the road in Seattle, CenturyLink Field. No fans, so no 12s, but a massive challenge for the Cowboys, as Dak Prescott knows. But don't ask him about Russell Wilson.
I've got all the faith in my defense going out there and doing their job. But for me, it's about staying focused in on what the Seattle Seahawks defense is going to give us, the way that we execute against that. That's the premier focus and the only focus within a game plan, no matter who the quarterback is.
Russell Wilson already has 9 touchdown passes versus just 11 incomplete passes, which is, it's so gaudy. And for Dak Prescott, he's coming off a 450-yard passing performance, 3 rushing touchdowns. No quarterback has ever done that before. And so there's a lot to like about these two offenses, but both defenses have lost major pieces due to injuries. Both defenses have their hands full. I mean, even though Seattle's 2-0, they've given up a lot of yards on the defensive side of the ball. And so we know they're banged up. And so maybe it comes down to a couple of defensive stops here and there. All right, one more here as we head up toward the top of the hour. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Gary Kubiak is a former quarterback himself. In fact, used to be John Elway's backup and has two Super Bowl rings, maybe one as a player and one as a coach, I think. Anyway, he's now with the Minnesota Vikings. And boy, if there is a team that has struggled more than Minnesota on offense to begin the season, I'd like you to tell me who it is. It's been brutal. The numbers are they're bleak and they're meager. And Kubiak is taking the blame for that with the Vikings.
We got to do a lot of things. I mean, I'm focused on myself. Hell, I got to do a lot better job for the guys and getting them in position. We're playing hard. Our guys are playing hard, preparing hard. Got to figure out a way to keep us on the field, get our snaps, you know, those type of things. So, like I said, just total focus on everything and try to get our snaps and stay on the field better than we've been doing here the first 2 weeks.
Kirk Cousins, obviously a quarterback that they've invested in not once but twice. And Stephon Diggs has moved on to Buffalo, so there's that piece. They've also got some issues on the other side of the ball with their defense. You remember getting just carved up, the young cornerbacks, by the Green Bay Packers offense in week number 1. And so as Minnesota goes into this weekend, they're still seeking the first win of the year. And this is one of the biggest surprises to me after 2 weeks. So we had talked about unexpected 2-0 teams, but also unexpected 0-4 teams. And I think you can look just inside the NFC North and see two of those candidates, two of those answers, as the Chicago Bears, by the hairs of their chinny chin chins, are at 2-0, same as the Packers, but the Vikings are at 0-2, and they've got the same record as the Lions. And so for Minnesota, the time is now, and they're battling another 2-0 team here. So they took on the Packers in the season opener, and now they've got the Titans coming up in week number 3. The Titans will run that ball down your throat if you do not somehow contain Derrick Henry. But also, Ryan Tannehill, while he's not going to dazzle you like a Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he's more of a game manager. He's extremely accurate. And the fact is, they can use his short passing, the kind of dinks and dunks, so to speak, as a complement to the run game. And so this is a difficult challenge for the Vikings. And Kirk Cousins right now has just 2 touchdowns so far. And while that's not terrible, if you have a running game to back it up, Dalvin Cook does have 3 touchdowns. But there's not been a lot of balance. And Adam Thielen certainly is the favorite target for Kirk Cousins, but they don't have as much depth as they had last year in a lot of different positions. So 2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, just one of the worst passer ratings in the entire NFL right now for Kirk Cousins as the starting quarterback for the Vikings. All right. Find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. I've been looking at some of your posts on our page. Paul says, I always look forward to my team, the Patriots, and this week it's versus the Raiders, but also the Browns versus Washington. Seems like the Browns start every season with high expectations that end up getting flushed down the toilet. And then he refers to the Baker Mayfield commercials. What are those? Shoot, it's an insurance commercial, right? But I can't remember which one.
He does Hulu commercials for TV, but he
it's not that.
Another one that I can't remember.
Yeah, it's Progressive. I think it's Progressive at home with Baker Mayfield. I think that's what it is. Anyway, he's goofy. He does a book club, and he's covering up seats when the rains are coming. And he's one time there was a smoke alarm whose battery was dying, and so it was beeping, and he's all over the stadium trying to find it. So, yeah, he does all kinds of funny commercials. Now, they're coming off a win, too, going back to Thursday Night Football last week. So a week ago, they beat the Bengals, and the Bengals are now in an 0-2 hole, and that was huge for them, same as it was huge for the Miami Dolphins on this Thursday night. I wouldn't say the Browns always start with high expectations, but I would say that the last two seasons, certainly, though more tempered, I think to come into 2020 because fans were a little gun shy after the way the Browns underperformed in 2019. When they've got a winnable game at the Dog Pound, I'm assuming they'll have fans again. So they had roughly 6,000 fans in their game to start. Well, I guess it was against the Bengals. They had the roughly 6,000 fans. And now they welcome Washington. And so they could very well be 2-1. They should, I think, if they take care of their business. And then you think about the AFC North, where the Ravens are 2-0, but they're hosting the Chiefs, where the Pittsburgh Steelers are also at 2-0. And it's been great to see Ben Roethlisberger back on the field. But the defense has really impressed me. As the Steelers have kept pace with the Ravens so far, and they will host Houston. Now, here's another game in which you think, what? Given the opponents for the Texans, maybe, yes, you might have thought an 0-2 start, but they've looked so, so bad, and now they're taking on another 2-0 team. Ouch. The Steelers could fall into an 0-3 hole, though this game is in Pittsburgh at Heinz Field, and so hopefully that gives them a lift. We got 1 hour to go, believe it or not.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.